y'all. This is the Beauty and Recreation Podcast, and we are discussing this week's news in fitness, health, beauty, sports, and everything in between that we like to discuss. So wanted to start off because we've decided that we're going to move forward doing the show together. So yay. Thanks to us. And we wanted to restructure the way the show was going because prior it was just like we were doing some test episodes, figuring out the flow. But per usual, we kind of hit it off. It's easy to have conversation with each other and our names rhyme. So we figured, why not? And so we were like laying out the show. We figured it would do something like we'd just be catching up with you all, telling you what we've been up to. Doing some spotlights on local businesses in beauty, fitness, and health. So if you know of any exciting milestones that you want us to share, please send it our way. And then we are going to just discuss what's going on in the news related to beauty and recreation. And we hope you like it. So on that note, I'm going to start with figuring out what I'm going to do this weekend, because Gianni had a better weekend than me last week.
Stay warm.
You were, what did I say? Stay hot? Because you were like, stay cold.
Girl, I don't miss it at all. What did you do?
How was the picnic?
Last week? It was nice. I mean, it's just grabbing lunch and going outside and sitting by a park and just enjoying the weather. I feel guilty, but not really. It's one of the main reasons why I moved out here. You know, I have an active lifestyle, so being outside is essential to me now.
Yeah, I was like, a picnic in January. I mean, hey, it's fun. That's fun. It's been raining, as they like to say, cats and dogs, or probably whales. There's so much rain out here, so much water. So, yes. I actually tuned into the Cat Williams interview on Club Shay Shay. And it actually was hard for me to finish. I need to finish it. It's like a 3-hour interview. A lot of gems were dropped. A lot of shade was given. A lot of facts were said. But I actually switched it from that interview to this Kirk Franklin one. So that one was really, really good. I actually really loved his points on just having a moment trying to figure out if he believes in a higher purpose because of how his life has turned out. But then also he was talking about like relationships and 50-50 and things like that. So it was something, if you haven't watched it, you should totally check out. It's very entertaining, especially while you're coloring, because I know you're preparing for a class, right? Come closer. You say you had a lot of what?
I have a lot of mannequins for my class that I need to prep. I'm doing a haircutting class, but I like to use color as a frame for my haircuts so you can see a little bit more dimension and movement. But while I'm in the salon, honestly, I just listen to music, or if there's a podcast conversation going on. I have a TV in here, but it's really just for visual, not really listening to it.
You're not watching the news on your TV like most salons I have a playing, like the talk shows?
No.
After you don't have a talk show, you just let play?
No. Honestly, it's weird because we're doing this right now, and I never thought that I would be someone who would be like, yeah, sure, I want to record my voice and listen to it later. I just usually
Do you
get
listen
all
to
my,
the episodes later?
My notes and stuff from my social. Or I try to follow social accounts that are giving information within like less than 2 minutes. It's my attention span to be online.
Well, yeah, because you have clients back to back. Have you had a client ask to watch TV on the or watch a show while they're in there, or are you try to have your clients just technology low and just relaxed?
It depends. A lot of my clients, I don't see that often. So by the time they come in, you know, we're just catching each other up on each other's lives. I'm also someone who's like, the less technology, the better, as far as what's going to be admitted into the air and coming into my body. So having a TV in here is something brand new to me. And I'm still kind of looking at it every day, like, should I keep it in here? I don't know.
Maybe, you know, if the news or something breaking happens, you know me, I'm a news person. So I'm like, I got to know what's happening. I would have it on, just on silent.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. About it.
Or like I'll do like the news segments basically are early morning by 9. So between 5 and 9, 12. So you could turn on at 12 and just check to see what's happening in the area. And then again at 4. That's it.
There's so much news breaking every minute. You know, it's like what's all of it's important. Obviously, we want to know everything that's going on. It's stressful, girl. It's so stressful. It's stressful being online. Are you asking, is it important?
Yeah, I'm like, is it really? Because I'd rather watch crime shows, but that's just me. Or Today Show. I like the Today Show, but that's just me.
I like watching historic pieces.
Well, when you figure out what channel you're going to have that on, let me know. One day you're going to turn it on. You're like, you know, I'm glad I turned this on because it was a flood the next town.
My mom had to call me and tell me that there was a tsunami in Ventura. I had no idea that it was crazy out here. And I live here. So just to give you an idea of how much I'm actually paying attention. I know.
Well,
I
need on to that switch note, it up. Paying attention. I need to actually add to my emergency kit, but that's another conversation. So since we wanted to discuss like our local news and what's going on, there's this exciting milestone for this Detroit-based luxury and wellness business called Woodhouse Day Spa Detroit. And they first opened their doors at the Lofts in Merchants Row on Woodard back 20 years ago. 20 years ago was, how was I? 13? I think I met this lady. I feel like I met her at a conference in DC. For real. Her name is Cheryl Hudson. She told me, I'm going to have to look through my emails because I feel like she asked if I could do press for her spa. Because her name is so familiar and the name of the spa is familiar, but I didn't know she didn't live in town. I just remember this name and, you know, salon business being associated with it. But anyways, kudos to her and her entire team because they did a relaunch. They reopened the doors after doing some renovations. And, you know, there's a lot of businesses that are shutting down after they hit like 30, 40 years. And there's a lot of businesses that shut down after the pandemic. But she made it through that. And so if you get a chance to check them out, they are in Detroit, and apparently they may have another salon somewhere else. But yeah, I think this is super exciting to hit a 20-year milestone, revamp the place, and have a huge customer base come and check it out. So, Woodhouse Day Spa, Detroit.
I like that. What I found over here is there's this scalp care salon. It's called H2O Head Care. It's in San Jose. There's another one in San Francisco Bay. And what the salon does is it gives you like this scalp treatment, and it goes in and it shows you exactly what type of scalp you have. If it's oily or dry, it's like this little machine and they put it on your scalp and you can like see your scalp up close and you can see the buildup that's there if there's any. And I think it's important that people are jumping on this trend because of course it started on TikTok and it's just like a relaxing scalp massage. But the videos that people have been uploading are really interesting because you're just laying there for about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, and you're getting your scalp cleansed. And I think it's important for people to understand the importance of a balanced scalp. You want to make sure that you're cleansing your scalp. You're making sure that you don't have dandruff or any extra buildup. So I think it's cool that salons aren't just a place that you're getting your scalp treated.
Yeah, I feel like it's a thing that's happening in the States. The States, like I live in the UK or something. But I feel like it's something that's happening. It's something that's happening here. Actually, when I was in Singapore for an internship back in 2011, there was a salon out there because my hair was dyed. It was bleached. And it was kind of grown out about like 2-3 inches at that point. And it's the middle of the summer. It's like July. And I remember looking for hair dye because most Asians have dark hair and they lighten their hair. They don't go darker. And I wanted to go darker because my bleach had faded. I was looking crazy. I kept getting these questions like, where are you from? Are you from Africa? I kept getting stared at. I would be on the bus on the way to the office and they would just be like, oh my God. And it didn't actually bother me that much. Thinking back, and I wasn't bothered then, but it's always just thought it was funny that I couldn't be from the U.S. One, I had to be from the entire continent of Africa. And then two, I couldn't find brown or black hair dye in any store. And they have nothing in any store. And they have a bunch of malls and little corner stores and whatnot. It's every like block, there's a humongous mall. It's insane. And so I remember looking like, okay, there's only like that amber brown color, like copper color and lighter. And so I was in one of those big malls and came across a spa that did a scalp analysis. This is 2011. They were doing scalp analysis probably prior to that because it would look very established, like at least 5-7 years in. And I didn't get my hair done there, but they did do scalp analysis. I thought that was cool. I just didn't trust like what they're going to do to my hair. I don't know about this one.
Yeah,
and no. And all the spa services machine. Were cool. But I think it's great that it's come out here. I hope that it's accessible, like meaning like people who really need it to treat things, dandruff or whatever. Psoriasis, things like that on their scalp, eczema on their scalp can go and enjoy it. I haven't found one yet, but I would like to.
I want to get the scalp analysis machine or at least get certified in it or something.
That would be cool.
Now I'm like, this is what I want. I want that space.
Would you have to become a trichologist? Is that the proper? I think it's trichologist.
Yes, I would have to, which means I'd have to go back to school.
I know a few people who ended up doing that. Would you do it?
I would consider
it. You just want a machine.
I want the, if you Google the bed, like everyone's like, you just lay down and then your head's like in the sink and you're just basically taking a nap while someone shampoos your scalp. And I think that's the most relaxing part of this experience. I just want to bring that to my clients.
Your price. I mean, I feel
I don't
like
know what
pay
I have
for
to do
it.
With pricing. It would be like a scalp analysis would be added on to the service, like a scalp treatment would, which is like $45 or $60, you know?
Mm-hmm. So what's the name of the place again?
H2O Hair Care.
Oh,
head
that.
Care. Sorry.
H2O Head Care. H2O Head Care. I like that.
H2O Head Care. Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. Oh, let's see. Scalp care. I wonder, like, and I keep seeing these videos of people getting their hair braided super tight. I do not miss getting my hair braided that tight at all. It probably lasts about 5 days before I take it out. And I imagine if braiding shops had a way to analyze the sensitivity of someone's scalp, they could adjust. I sound like I'm like creating a tool right now. They could adjust the way they braid hair based on the sensitivity of the client because they could do an analysis prior to braiding. And they could say, oh, okay, Linda or, you know, Aminata, she could come over here and she's more, she's better with tender-headed clients. I feel like everyone's tender-headed because if you don't get something for a long time, then you get it, you're tender. because it's not, your head's not used to it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think it's a cool tool.
It's a cool tool that you created.
That I created. It's mine.
I'll have it in my space.
Oh, goodness. So I love that we incorporated that. Okay, so let's talk about what is happening on a larger scale. So this was something that stood out to me. This federal bill that would allow salon workers to be trained in domestic violence prevention. I think there's also a bill or something around kidnapping and human trafficking.
Wow.
But yeah. I mean, that's a big deal. And if you think about it, you're very intimate with your customer in that hour or two they're in the shop. It would be good to be able to see signs.
Absolutely.
So this article is on American Salon. It says, because beauty professionals are among the first people who can recognize signs of abuse, two senators have introduced a bipartisan bill incentivizing states to implement domestic violence prevention training for licensed cosmetologists. So the Supporting the Abused by Learning Options to Navigate Survivor Stories Act, that's a long name. They really tried to get Salon Stories Act together in that acronym. But Supporting the Abused by Learning Options to Navigate Survivor Stories Act was introduced by Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee and Tammy Duckworth of Illinois. And both of their states require such training as part of the obtaining the cosmetology license. So you can't actually get your license until you take this training, which is pretty clever. I thought it was like an after fact, because then you have a drop down, like let's say 100% take it because it's required to graduate, but then to even license, to test, to license. But then you have, if you had it the other way, it's like optional. I feel like that would decrease to about 25%. Because you don't know people's ideologies, their perception of domestic violence, their care for, their understanding, things like that. So this is really good. It's a bipartisan thing, a Republican and a Democrat working on this. That's a really good thing. So the education program teaches signs of abuse, how to listen and communicate with potential victims, and possibly help someone trying to leave an abusive relationship. A common factor among domestic abuse victims is their isolation. An overwhelming number are cut off from close relationships by their abuser. However, many will still go to beauty and grooming appointments, making the service provider one of their only consistent intimate contacts in the outside world. And that makes a lot of sense, because if someone is in an abusive relationship and unable to ask for help, but they're like able to keep a schedule or rhythm or some consistency in their life, and it happens to be like, oh, I like to get my nails done, or oh, I like to get my hair done, this is good. Oh, excuse me. This is really good. I would totally sign up for this, just, and I'm 15 years beyond licensing.
I would totally do this. We've been therapists this long without having to take on the title. I've personally never dealt with any clients that have come in with any type of, I mean, I wouldn't know, right?
Right.
I wouldn't know. But like signed or, yeah, like you were just saying.
No, this is really good. This is really good. And it also makes me think, like, this bill is focused on women. I'm a big advocate for women being a woman. But I also know there, when I worked in the salon and I was managing a salon and I was a stylist in the salon, we had a lot of transgender people who were coming in like, I got jumped yesterday because of just who I am, or I'm not coming in because I got in a fight when I was out with my friends and something happened. And I commended them then for telling me. Also, I was their manager at the time, but I also gave them the space to feel safe enough to tell me and be able to pivot their day based on what happened the day before or just what was happening emotionally. I remember this one girl, she was she had auditioned for position, and we got to the back, phenomenal hairstyling, like really good, everything like that, and could dress, amazing hair, was tall, gorgeous. And so we're sitting in the back, and these are factors I'm thinking of, but you work in a salon, typically everyone's kind of cute. Everyone's like dressed up. Everyone has like something unique about themselves that their clients like. And so that's why they gravitate to them. Mm-hmm. So we're in the back chatting. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to offer you the position. You're phenomenal at what you're doing. You know, when do you want to start? And she asked me, and she did identify as a she, so I'm just making sure you're aware of that. But she asked me if I could tell if she was transgender. And I was like, no, but why does it matter? I just need you to do some hair. We have gay guys in here who are slaying hair. We have white women slaying hair. We have Latino women. We have all types of people. Black women in here doing a phenomenal job. Like, I just need you to come here and do some good hair in 45 minutes and let these people out the door. Okay. I need you to be able to have good customer service and business acumen. I do not care that you are transgender, but valid point, thinking back, like I remember the facial expression, like the worry, because they were just trying to find a space where they didn't have to worry about someone judging them because their hands were bigger than the other women. So
you're being serviced by
a transgender woman. Right.
If you go into a massage parlor and you're getting a massage, it's like, do you prefer male or female masseuse? It's just like some people want to be touched by a certain gender.
But I get it, because I was on vacation one time, and we're just talking about massages, not talking about hairstyling anymore. So we have moved on a bit from the topic, but just to make everyone aware. But I remember getting a massage on vacation, and I didn't care if it was male or female, but I did care that the person was sweaty. This person was just sweaty massaging me. And I was just like, the entire time, I was just like, let's just stop. This isn't working for me at all. Well, we'll see. Just to go back, we'll see how this bill goes. It's in the two states. It's required to, in order to obtain a license. This would be awesome to be across the United States, if not at least half of the states in the country. And hopefully, if it's in a certain state, it doesn't get broken down by county and so on and so on. But yeah, this is really, really good, actually.
That's exciting. Really, it's good. Almost like it's bringing more legitimacy to cosmetologists, you know what I mean? Because for a long time, it's just like, oh, you do hair, how fun, you get to play with hair. And it's just like, it's not about hair, it's about human connection. People tell us about their lives every single day, and it's, you know, it gives us an opportunity to really connect with them on a different level. And if it's
people go through really traumatic things. Like, I remember this woman. She was getting ready to go to a funeral for her son. And I remember her, she was like one of my regulars, but I didn't like know her. Like, I didn't know her personal business. But she came in all black. It was like 7 a.m. I said, y'all come in early. And she was just sitting in the chair, just staring into the abyss, like, oh my goodness. But she wanted her hair done. And she wanted her hair shampooed. And she wanted me to take my time. So I was like, you know, you're burying your son. I mean, this is the least I could do. So I hope she's okay now.
Yesterday, my client yesterday who shared with me some of her upbringings and just some of the trauma that she's experienced in her life and the line of work that she's in now and how her hair color is, you know, like they're asking her to change her hair color. And she's just like, what does my hair color have to do with me getting my work done, you know? So it's just like, we're all coming different places. It's just like, it's going to follow us around.
Yeah. Forever. Same thing with tattoos. Cause that was a huge thing for us. It was like, oh my God, yeah, piercings, right? You can't get a job. I'm like, well, y'all need people.
Or your hair color or your tattoos or your piercings are going to re-traumatize someone that we're trying to help. And it's just like, what?
I get it. We have to be sensitive to people's, you know, the things that trigger them, but we also don't know what triggers people as well. So we have to give people the benefit of the doubt that they're not doing things intentionally. And then we also need to understand there are ways to identify if someone's uncomfortable or not safe. Oh, wow. We're 200 days out from the Olympics, the Paris Olympics. 200 days? Wow. You know, I wanted to go to the Paris Olympics, but I also, I feel like because I've been working on my product company, my personal care brand, that I will just have to work with someone who is going. So maybe like athletic sponsorship or endorsement or something. I'm working on that. But that aside, 200 days away from the Olympics, very excited about that. There actually is this really big like sports games thing that's happening in Cleveland, Ohio, called the Pan American Games. It's similar to the Olympics, but it's just like regular people who are competitive, everyday athletes, people who just like to work out or like to compete, but they're not, but they're not Olympians. And so it's like a multi-sport event. It's like over like a two-week span. I think it's happening at the same time as the Olympics, which is interesting, but I actually joined the group. There's a Facebook group where you could find teammates. The people are running, they're like swimming, they're rowing, like everything. It's so cool.
Don't be out there.
I might go. I need to find, no, for real. I might go.
I need to find a Facebook group.
I might go. I haven't posted anything in the Facebook group, so. But I have been looking.
Following.
Yeah, because I thought it was so cool because they're cycling, they're sailing, rowing, judo, baseball, basketball. I'm talking about, and people are coming from all over the world. So there are people going to Paris, but they're competing on an international level for money. And then there are people coming for the Pan American Master Games, that's what it's called, in Cleveland. It's the first time it's ever come to the States.
Isn't the Olympics supposed to be in California at some point?
Yeah, that's the next one. So that's the one I want to go to.
No, so girl, that's 2028. No, I do not. It's going to be even worse.
You better Airbnb your place.
Driving.
If Airbnb is around.
Why you say that?
Because Airbnb, I've been having trouble.
No, first of all, Imani, honestly, it makes me nervous to think that Los Angeles is going to host the Olympics because of how crazy it is and how crowded it is already. Like our everyday lives for however many months or weeks this is going to take for them to, it's going to be an absolute mess. And I might move back.
I'm sure they said the same thing in Atlanta in 1996.
That's 96, B.
But
this is 2024.
Right. And so as progressive as California is, they're probably already building things for 2028, if they're smart. And I feel like someone, the governor, might be thinking about it.
Like, there's a lot of buildings I see going up in the last 8 months.
I'm saying, because I mean.
To all my clients that are listening, 2028, Gianni is going to be in Washington, D.C., because I cannot be here during the Olympics. I will not deal with this traffic.
We better rent that apartment.
Whoever needs an apartment.
Some athletes will probably need to stay in an apartment to train.
I will. I sure will. There's no way. I can't.
Wow. This Pan American Games, they have about 40 sports.
It's crazy.
This is going to be cool. Yeah, I think I'm going to go up there and watch some of the games and stuff.
Why don't you rent my athletes place?
I had a real thought,
you come over here, let's switch homes. You know what?
Like?
Let's switch.
What does that look like?
What's your rent?
I mean, maybe now? Shoot. I do want to be at the 2028 Olympics. It would be so cool.
You're remote, to be there. Right? You work remote.
Right now. Don't quote me. Mm.
2028.
I work wherever I work, whenever it works, for however it works.
Let's think about that. Let's switch apartments for.
Well, we got 4 years, so let's check back in two.
Yeah,
we got some time. Maybe we'll be covering the Olympics. It's just like a big idea there. But yeah, Paris Olympics, it's in July. Oh, actually starts June 24th and then runs through July. And I'm excited. There's a bunch of newbies on here. We'll be following this. So I wanted to talk about that thing I sent you, that FDA approved menstrual pad product.
Oh my gosh.
That is so
it's
cool.
It's so funny that you sent me that. It's
so cool. I thought it was so cool. I saw it earlier today, and they've been talking about it for a little bit. But the founder was on my LinkedIn talking about how it was 10 years in the making to come up with this product and get it FDA approved, which is a big deal because it probably had to go through a bunch of hoops. I mean, the whole menstrual conversation as far as like accessibility to tampons and pads and all of that, that like that's one thing. But then to turn around and be able to analyze the blood for health issues is
diabetes
even better.
And
yeah, that's even better. Like that's so cool. Hold on, let me pull it up. What was it called again?
Q-pad.
It has a removable collection strip. And it's organic. It's made with organic cotton. Oh, it's $49.
Day two. Use it on day two of your menstrual cycle.
This is cool. So basically, it is a $49 test that's available on their website starting now. And it's a system that consists of a Q-pad kit and a Q-pad A1C test. The test is intended for the collection of menstrual blood samples by individuals 18 years of age and older using the Q-pad. It's an unscented menstrual pad with an embedded blood collection strip called the Q-strip. And each kit includes two Q-pads, which is smart, instead of just one, a return sample container, and a stamp mailing pouch. Oh, they are being really nice here. They basically pay because they're like, oh, yeah, do all this, and we'll pay for the mailing. I like that. Okay, so the Q-pad should be used on days 2 through 4. After collecting a sufficient menstrual sample, the removable strip are placed into the storage container and mailed back to the prepaid mailer address. The test results are provided via a HIPAA-compliant mobile application. Oh, they have an app too. Within 5 to 10 days of shipping. That's quick. The FDA clearance was based on data from a clinical validation study that included 198 participants. Samples were collected using a Q-pad kit and were returned to the laboratory by mail. It was studied, the venous blood draw was performed on participants of a lobotomist, and an analysis of both samples demonstrated the clinical performance of the Q-pad test system. Is measuring the HbA1c was equivalent to the traditional method of blood testing. Oh, that's big. That's really big. I wonder if they have preliminary results published. I feel like they would somewhere. But this is what the founder said. Her name is Sarah Nasiri. She's an MD, and she's the founder of QVIN, Q-V-I-N, and she's a scientist. And she said, with the first ever FDA-cleared menstrual blood health test, QVIN is paving the way to important new opportunities for women's health, and this is just the beginning. We're simplifying routine testing and freeing up results that can be used on providing care, and ultimately our goal is to make health much more accessible. That's a great idea. Like imagine unhoused women or people who menstruate, who don't know what's going on, they don't have health insurance, but they can probably cover the $50, or let's say a nonprofit can get a bunch and help people who are going through issues. This is really good. Because it doesn't say you need health insurance to get the results.
So it's one pad. It's $50 for the actual strip, not the pad. You'll just have your normal pad and you put the strip on your regular pad.
I don't know. Because
that's confusing.
It says, the picture says there's the cotton pad and then the strip. Either way, if you used your own or they provided it, it's useful because you're only going to wear it once. You're going to wear it between that 2 to 4 day window and then send it back. I actually did something similar. There was another company that I had, you had to send like a sample of your stool to figure out if your gut bacteria and any other issues you were having. And I tried, it was really helpful. I have to find the results. I could probably bring it up next time, but very simple, similar way of testing, but it costs like 3 times this. And I only did it because, yeah, I only did it because I was very curious to figure out what was going on because I typically have issues with my stomach, but I just thought this was a very clever, smart thing. And this is like, this is groundbreaking. There's a lot of health tech, femtech stuff going on lately. We should definitely bring up some more, but I love this. This is exciting. This is really exciting.
Technology into the menstrual cycle.
Yeah, this is really good. I mean, there's a bunch of menstrual health related companies that are going to change the way we understand women's health, because even we can go back, what, 50 years maybe, and there's not a lot of data on just women's health. You don't even have to break it down by race or like age group. There's just a lack of testing with women, a lack of research on women's health, and a lot of trauma in women's health. So this is a very simple, safe, easy way to get it done in your home or in the bathroom and just mail it on your way out the door. Have a little hand sanitizer with you and call it a day. I like it.
$50.
I like it. I like it. $50 is good. Oh, is there anything you're looking forward to? Or like, is there anything that you're doing soon? Like, I think I need a, I feel like I need a spa appointment. I need to go to the spa. I actually have not gone to see my facialist at my local spa, but I was going regularly. I pay the $100 a month to be a member so I can get the discount on the services. And I need a facial. Like my chin broke out. I have been under a lot of stress, but it's been a while since my chin has broken out. I also have been just leaning on my hand, thinking very hard, doing what you're doing right now. My fingers around my mouth, like, oh, what am I going to do today? So I think I'm going to make an appointment. I need to make an appointment because I don't need chin bumps.
I'm hiring a nutritionist. Nutritionist?
A nutritionist?
Nutritionist? What did I say? Nutritionist?
Yes. I'm
hiring a nutritionist.
Now you got me thinking, is that correct?
Nutritionist? Let's Google it. Nutritionist or nutritionist?
There's no O list. It's just nutritionist. Okay, moving on.
I'm hiring a nutritionist to help me on my journey, girl. I've been trying to gain weight for the past like 2 years.
Why?
I feel like we've talked about it a little bit.
Why are you trying to gain weight? Who is it for?
It's for me. And I feel like I'm strong already. But I want to feel stronger and I want to look stronger. I'm just petite now and there's no like curve anywhere on my body anymore. And I miss that. And I'm trying to do it in a healthy way where I'm eating mm-hmm. enough calories.
You're not like bulking up and then losing it. You want to gradually
I just want to gradually
see it consistently
add.
There. Well, eat some bread. That's like, what I would say. But no, I think it's a great idea that you're getting a nutritionist, though.
I need
that's a good idea because they can help you do it in a safe way.
I need help. Yeah, that's what she was talking about. She was like, we can do it week by week so that you're not shocking your system into thinking like anything's wrong. And it's anytime I say it to anyone, it's so interesting. Everyone's like, why? Why are you trying to gain weight? And it's like, because I used to be bigger.
Well, my why, were you bigger or were you just younger?
I think we need to look back at these pictures.
Were you on like, we were small, but
you know what? I was on birth control too.
I was about to say, I was on birth control. We were running around. We were hustling. We were trying to get job after job after
job. I sure as hell was not working out as much as I am now.
Well, we didn't need to work out the way we work out now, because we were always ripping and running, but we're always standing behind a chair. You're always, you know, on the go. And we could eat crap and get away with it. But I did notice, like, after, I remember having issues with my digestion in college, because I'm like, it feels like it's still in my chest. And I would go get that checked out. So there's nothing wrong with you figuring out a way to add some pounds to your body for the sake of what you want to do with it. Like, it's your body.
Right.
Maybe you might need another explanation, because you keep getting whys. And people are like, why? So maybe you should start with the why and end with the how.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm feeling like I want to, you know, boost my figure, at, you know, feel a little bit healthier. And so I'm going to work with nutritionists. Why? Because it's my goddamn business. That's why. And you ended there. Boom. Conversation's over. But no, let me know how that goes. That's really cool. And you can, like, document it with us if you're going to do it regularly. I'm actually going to see. Yeah, you said she what?
It was today. I had my interview with her. Consultation with her today. Good. I got just.
What kind of consultation is that?
Just a phone consultation. She asked me a few questions to get an idea of what my lifestyle is now, my sleep schedule, what I normally eat right now. And I just, you know, I'm eating clean and healthy, and, you know, like, it's, I'm eating nutrients-based foods, and it's not so much the case. Like, I need to eat fatty foods. And I just don't know what that looks like day to day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I will say, if you look at your family, are they heavier or have more meat on their bones? Well, yeah, I mean, they're chest heavy, but you're chest heavy. You've always been chest heavy.
But you don't, I don't have any of that now. It's just fat.
Because you're just straight. You're just straight muscle now.
And it's like the skin on my breast is just like skin. There's no fat in them anymore. So, like, even when I look at myself and I'm like, wow, like, I have no figure to, like, it, to me, it seems like I have no figure. And I used to be more full and I enjoyed it. I just wasn't appreciative of it at the time. And now I miss it and I want it back.
I get it.
I want my titties back.
I get it. For a moment, I was like, I want to be 10 pounds lighter. And then I looked at the scale that I was tracking, and I was like, I was 10 pounds lighter, and I wanted to be lighter than that. Yeah. Let's just let it go. Let's just deal with the hips and the thighs and what I have. Let's just stick with where we're at. But I get it. Okay, well, you're going to keep us posted. Keep me posted. I'm very curious about that. Very curious about that. I'm going to see a physical therapist. So I actually was calling around for one, and they're eager. They're looking for clients, because the way I got phone calls back, I was like, that was fast. I should have just called you. But I'm also training for a race in April, so it just makes sense. I went to get my hips looked at, because I was like, okay, it's starting. There's a pain. I didn't have pain around my hips ever until I ran my first half marathon last year. But it was only during that half marathon. So now I'm like, what is causing this hip pain? They said, well, there ain't nothing there. It's just calcified, but you're fine. Maybe you just need to see a physical therapist. So I'm going to see one for 6 weeks to help me do my training better. And so that way I could just run a straight 10 miles or run at least 6 without the pain. And then I'll be able to figure out how to recover after. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. But that's all, folks. As the famous Bugs Bunny would say, we'll be back with another episode of the Beauty and Recreation Podcast, and we'll keep you posted on this health journey that we're restarting or starting or changing or whatever. But thanks for listening.
Love you guys.
Bye.